Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Digital Dave.
And we are definitely out of the pattern right now.
Yes, we are. We are behind the curve.
I think that ATC wants to talk to us.
Well, no. We're in the tower, and yet they want us to call the tower. That's pretty bad.
They call the tower when you land.
If you land.
No, I'll land. It's just, will I be able to use the airplane again?
Hard to say. And joining us is Mr. Walt Fricke. And I don't know this young gentleman.
Hi, I'm Sergeant Michael Blair, United States Marine Corps retired.
All right, Sergeant. Thank you for coming.
A Marine. Very good. Anyway, you're with Walt. You're with the Veterans Airlift Command. We had you here last year, and frankly, I've forgotten everything that I've done since past yesterday. And can you refresh us about what Veterans Airlift Command is all about?
The Veterans Airlift Command is a network of volunteer aircraft owners and pilots that flies combat wounded soldiers from Walter Reed or Brooke Army Medical Center, Balboa Navy Hospital, Fayetteville, North Carolina, wherever they are in their warrior transition battalions where they're being treated. They need to go home on convalescent leave. They need to go visit their buddies when they get back from overseas. They need to go home to get married. Whenever they have travel needs, we provide private airplanes so they don't have to go through the TSA winding down ceremonies and that sort of thing. They get to drive right up with their bags in an airplane and fly to their hometown direct with a business leader that's an aircraft owner that cares about them, and they know it.
How often do you get a guy that's never flown in a small aircraft?
You know, that's unusual. Family members, sometimes we get family members that have never flown in a small aircraft. Occasionally we get guys that haven't, but most of these guys are, in the military. A lot of them flew in helicopters or jumped out of them or whatever. So, they're pretty attuned, but sometimes we have family members that don't. But they're generally quite impressed with the quality of service they get with our volunteers and the nonstop service, etc.
Well, that's very, very good to hear. And what's your average flight length, the distance?
It's probably a little over 500 miles now. So we use a lot of jets, turboprops, and high-performance aircraft.
And all time and fuel and everything is donated?
It's all donated by the aircraft owner. That's correct.
That's fantastic.
That is great.
How many miles have we flown already, Walt?
I think about 4.1 million miles since we started this thing 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And you did it all in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long day.
A lot of gas, a lot
like
of bathroom
stops.
Like a
week at Oshkosh.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So if you are, a disabled veteran and you need to get a hold of you guys for a flight, how would you do it?
They go right online. It's veteransairlift.org. So if you're post 9/11 combat wounded, go to veteransairlift.org and there's a passenger travel request. It's pretty simple. We're high on compassion, low on red tape, so there's not a lot to it. We just need your name and where you want to go and when, and a brief and remarks story, and we put the rest of it together and find the volunteer, and we blast email our volunteers along the route with the appropriate aircraft. And generally, if we send 100 emails, we'll get 10 responses within sometimes minutes. I've had guys tell me they had to go out and buy a BlackBerry so they could get our mission requests and respond to them, because by the time they got back to the office, we'd already filled them.
Oh, and they missed out.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Well, here's a question for you. When you're out there setting these things up, are you doing multiple veterans on each aircraft?
No, generally, there's two things. Common misconceptions. We don't provide rides on empty airplanes that are going to and from places with empty seats, because those may cancel at the last minute. And when we commit to fly somebody, we fly them. So the airplane is committed to the trip. And occasionally we'll take multiple guys, because like the Boston Marathon, and I think Mike even has done this, where we put a bunch of guys on an airplane and flew them up to Boston to do the Boston Marathon. And taking a bunch of guys on a hunting trip, or taking them someplace where they get away from the hospital and get some camaraderie with their buddies, but get away from the hospital environment. So we've taken guys to Montana fishing, and we don't do that. There are other organizations that provide the venues and that sort of thing, but we provide transportation for things like that.
I had the fortunate privilege of riding in a King Air from D.C. to Montreal, Canada, and racing in the Montreal Marathon with Team Achilles. They're out in New York, and then flying back in a King Air
Did they let you fly?
Okay, I'm jealous now.
They did let me sit in the right seat.
Oh, isn't that a cool view?
It didn't even make him go get the coffee.
Well, I'll tell you what it did make him do. He went and got a sport pilot's license. You may recall he was featured last year in AOPA pilot as Sergeant Mike Bulldog Blair, who they sort of recruited out of Walter Reed while he's in rehab, and he got his sport pilot's license.
Now that brings to mind a question: what rank, what type of license do these pilots need to have? At least a private.
At least a private, instrument rated, and proficient, because we file instrument flight plans on all trips so that we track. We also have our own call sign, like United Airlines. Ours is called Hero Flight, so that when you're in the air, it's Hero Flight 47 Bravo, your last three digits, and we get preferential routing over United Airlines.
Oh wow, and they're not happy about
as
that.
In,
but anyway.
As in direct Farmingdale, New York. Direct LaGuardia, direct Fayetteville, North Carolina, through DC airspace. I mean, we get direct handling.
So it's kind of a thrill for the pilots, too. They get to fly in routes they've never taken before.
For sure. In fact, we got that call sign for our passengers. The idea was that they'd be listening in and they'd hear this call sign, Hero Flight. And it turned out to be as much for our pilots. They get as much out of it. You go to our website, there's a terrific video with audio from a Houston Center conversation with one of our pilots where they thanked the Marine for his service and wished him well, Godspeed in his recovery, and then Semper Fi. It turned out the air traffic controller was a Marine. The next thing he says, it got kind of quiet, and he said, anybody else want to chime in? And it was like a series of about seven airliners said, hey, Semper Fi, we got a Marine on board. There's a Navy guy on board. We appreciate you. Like, it went on and on until the pilot said, I got choked up, had to cut it off.
Wow.
Well, it just goes to show that support for our soldiers and our Marines and airmen and all the rest of them is widespread and very much appreciated. Yep. And this is a good thing that you're doing, too. I mean, you know, ferrying these men and women around is a very noble cause. It's got to make you feel good. You know, after a long day of putting all these things together, you realize, yep, they're on board their airplanes, they're heading to their destination, life is getting better for them.
Yep, no question. My intent when I started this was to fly my airplane and take a few guys from the VA hospital in Minneapolis and find some families who needed the ride and spend a couple of days a week doing that, and it turned into something else entirely. I don't get to fly. I flew Mike the other day because we, on the way to Oshkosh, we had to go reposition some stuff. So he flew out to Minneapolis, and we flew up and got our motorhome to bring it down here. But that's the first mission I've flown in 2 years. So
that's not bad.
We're busy doing the coordinating.
Well, it just goes to show that you're the leader, and everybody else is following you. So
at least you did get to fly.
Yeah. It's got to be rough flying a desk, though. I'm sure you miss being in the cockpit ferrying
these
people.
No question.
Oh, he gets his occasional T6 time.
Oh, see, that's not too hard to take now, is it?
When did you guys start ferrying veterans in T6s?
we don't do that.
Hey, I think I know an F-16 you can get real cheap. Well, what is your website? Where do
we
find it?
It's veteransairlift.org, and there's on the website there's some good. Very good video under the news tab where there's some really good video that tells the story very well.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
It sounds like a plan. And if I had a plane and could fly, I'd probably help them out.
Well, it wouldn't hurt if you had a business jet, so get your commercial.
I have a paper airplane. Anybody want to fly on that?
Well, now, we have run into so many organizations that are providing help for our veterans and everything, and it's good to see that you're in there with them, too. We interviewed you last year, and we're just blown away by it all. Have there been any significant changes in the organization between then and now?
Just growth. We've got 1,800 volunteer aircraft owners and pilots around the country. We're up probably 40% in missions. We've flown over 4,000 people and have flown over 4 million miles since we started this. So,
wow.
It's a lot of flying.
Yep.
Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
And we do appreciate your service there, Sergeant. Have fun with your sport pilot license, by all means.
Thank you. I'll start my pilot training when I get back on August 3rd.
Very good.
Very good.
Carry on and be careful up there.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to Hot Start on EAA Radio.